Amen. Are you going to help Dad preach tonight? Nope. Man, at least she's honest. Amen. It's so good to see Brother Justin, wife and family back in service with us. Amen. Thankful for how the Spirit of the Lord moved this morning. Amen. How many of you are on the journey? Amen. Are you moving up? Amen. Are you looking for the shortcut on the ladder? Are you saying, Lord, just place me in the pathway that I might continue? You know, Pastor made this statement here not too long ago, and I'm going to get to the preaching part here in just a second. But he was talking about, you know, have you ever tried climbing up the backside of the ladder? You know, it's kind of difficult. You know, it's all right to get up there, but when you go to come back down, there's that big gap. And if you don't pay attention, you'll skin yourself up or even fall down. He's talking about falling down the stairs. Anyways, we all didn't have anybody that pushed us down. We all did it ourselves most of the time. But the journey that we're on, we are not on this journey alone. Amen. When we get on this journey, on the pathway that God has laid out for us, we have some things that we are required to do. How many likes requirements? That's what I thought. None of us. We like to be free spirits. We like to freely roam wherever we want. Kind of be like that old tomcat pastor was talking about today. We just want it all our way or the highway. But I'm here to tell you, when we come to the house of God, we've got to come with some premeditated things in our mind and in our life already pre-decided that I'm going to come to the house of God and I'm going to see God's face. I'm here to tell you, Moses went out into the wilderness not looking to see a burning bush, but he's seen one. I'm here to tell you tonight, we shouldn't wander around in the wilderness saying, well, I wonder where God's at. I'm here to tell you, he's in the house. He's just waiting on us to catch up. Amen. I'm already blowing and going here. I even read my text. But it's important. I want us to realize this, that whenever you get up and you go in there and you find your clothes, you have to predetermine what you want to wear. Now, I have this famous statement that I ask my wife every time we get ready for church. I say, honey, what am I wearing? Because I know she's already predetermined what she's going to wear, which, in fact, falls in line with what I'm going to wear. You know, I want to wear something that's going to compliment her and compliment, you know, my good looks. Hey, y'all are laughing. Now, come on now. But we have something that we have already pre-decided. Whenever you go to bed, if you don't set your alarm for what time you got to get up to go to work, you won't get up and go to work. So what do? You predetermine hours before that you are going to get up at said time. Because you know how long it takes to get dressed. And how long it should take if you brush your teeth. Some of us, we skip that part. We shouldn't do that. There's a dental hygienist that will offer some information on that after service. It's important that we have a plan. Because if we don't have a plan, we end up getting up the next morning and, oh, Jesus, help me here. Starting to meddle a little bit. There's nothing worse, Brother Jason, than going in there and starting to load the laundry that night knowing that you got to have dry clothes in the morning. And getting up when it's 15 minutes time to go, and you're like, oh, man, I forgot to put the clothes in the dryer. Am I the only one that's done that? So what do we have to do? We have to plan. I want to give you the definition here before I get to preaching. Anybody know what premeditated means? Okay, good. It means categorized by fully conscious, willful intent and a measure of forethought and planning. So the reason all you all are here in church tonight is because you planned to be here. Now, yes, there's going to be things that's going to come up and in our way that we just can't control. But if you want to do something, you will find a way to do it. I want to preach just for a short while here tonight on this simple thought: premeditated revival. I mean, we've been through a series of sickness, a series of loss, and when that happens, what it begins to cause is for us to lose focus of where we was at. And if we're not careful, we will not have a mighty revival in our lives unless we plan for one. Every great revival that has swept across the nation all started with one person that wanted revival. Now I want us to ask ourselves this question: how bad do I want to see revival in my generation? We have several different generations represented here. All kinds of different age groups. From the youngest to the eldest, to the ones in the middle. Now, Pastor just testified to us about a revival that took place in a man's life. That in and of itself wasn't something that man planned, but God had made a decision all them years ago that he was going to continue to reach after that man. Brother Justin, God didn't decide yesterday that he wanted to save you. He decided way back then that there was going to be time and time again that God was going to reach, and he was going to reach. Amen. I can tell you times in my life that I was running from God, but he had predetermined that he was going to continue to outstretch his hand, because he knows here tonight, whenever we get our mind made up and say, God, I want to see you, I want to experience your presence, that is when we step up and say, I'm looking. And he says, here am I. Amen. I even read you my text and I'm feeling good. Hallelujah. You didn't start that recording yet, did you, Titus? Oh, I'm in trouble now. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Whenever you predetermine, when you make a premeditated decision that I'm going to look for God, you will find him. Lord, we thank you for your presence here tonight. I pray that you would move in your people, move around these altars. God, I pray that you would touch and move in my mind, my lips, Lord, that I would declare the words that you have placed, Lord, inside of me. I pray, Lord, here tonight, that when we leave this place, that we would leave changed, that we would leave challenged. Lord, that when we leave here, we would see and find someone else and tell them about you. I pray that you would strengthen your body, strengthen the church and the family. In your name we pray, and the church said, amen. You can be seated. What we find here in Jeremiah is that God was already thinking toward him. He was thinking good things. He was thinking, man, they sure need some peace. They sure need some strength. But I'm here to tell you tonight that sometimes we look at God and say, all that He has predetermined for me is heartache. If anybody had a place to holler that out, it was probably Jeremiah. But what we find here is God is giving a specific nugget, a specific note to him. And here tonight, I have come to you, church, with a message. Amen. With a few things the Lord has laid on my heart, that if we want to see God begin to shake and begin to transform, amen, all of our previous generations in our current generation, it's going to take us being premeditated and saying, Lord, I am looking for you. I got three different places I'm going to, things I'm going to talk about tonight. And the first one is something I can't think. It's been several years since I heard anybody preach on this certain topic. And it's because it's something we don't like. You know, you ever heard take your medicine? You know, even though you don't like it, you know it's good for you, you know. Castor oil, anybody here? Grandma comes and whether you like it or not. Monkey blood, anybody here? Had methylate down your throat? You know, it says mercury on the back of that. It says do not ingest. Yeah, don't worry about that warning. My grandma never did. Come here, son. You got a sore throat? Let me fix that for you. Everything. My grandma Sanders, the answer to everything, Sister Betty, was methylate. Old monkey blood. It was pink then. Now it's clear. You can't find the pink stuff anymore. But she'd grab a cotton swab. She'd lay you back and just give you a good swab of that. And you think, I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm dying on a cotton ball. But she'd say, it's good for you. After it was all said and done, and pat you on the back and say, you'll be better. And she was right. Usually 24 hours later, Brother Matthew, I was better. Even if I wasn't, I was better. I had made forethought. I was not going to complain. We got to realize there are some things in our life that we have to be premeditated in. First thing I want to go through, I'm going to read a section of scriptures. Titus, I'm going to skip through some of them. So if you're like, where are you going? Just go down to the next one. You'll find me. Over in Isaiah, we find prophet Isaiah. He had a terrible job. He was told, whenever he said, God, here am I, send me. After the thought, God said, you're going to preach, you're going to go tell all the people, and none of them's going to listen. They're going to stop their ears. They're going to despise you. He was the first world-class pastor that everybody disliked. So pastors, teachers, anyone watching online that's felt like they've been the first, listen, at least you didn't have the whole nation against you. Isaiah was talking to the people, and the people wouldn't listen. But I'm here to tell you, Isaiah, because he had a premeditated relationship with God, every time Isaiah spoke to God, God spoke back to him. I'm here to tell you tonight, there might be things that you're like, Lord, why can't I hear you? Let me tell you, if you show forth in some of these attributes, God will begin to move. You will begin to see revival. We see in Isaiah 58, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation they did righteous, righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore, I want you to grab a hold of these next three verses right here. Wherefore have we fasted? I told you I'd say something you didn't like. There it is. Say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife, and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? This is what God's asking. A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? I want to stop right there for just a minute. Premeditated fast is what was going on here. The children of Israel was doing a premeditated fast in order to afflict, have an affliction upon their neighbor. That's what they were doing. They were doing it to afflict the souls of them around them. They wasn't doing it so that they could hear from God. They were utilizing something that God had provided sacred to try and do something evil to their neighbor. You ever seen a bull out there in the field, and all of a sudden he's making all the racket, and I could do it in here and just really surprise y'all, but I'm not. And all of a sudden, you see the dirt flying. He's out there making all the racket. He's beating his head against the ground, and he's bellowing. He's making all kinds of noise. He's showing forth. He's doing a sacrifice to show forth his strength. I've seen a bull raise up his head and bust his nose, and blood be going everywhere. But they're doing it out of a point for strength, out of pride. Sometimes we do things so someone else will see them. The only things you should be doing is things that should please God. But sometimes we want to try and be the loudest, the biggest, the brightest, so everyone can say, oh, glory to that person. We're missing the point. Verse number 6. This isn't the fast God's looking for, by the way. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, and thou cover him, and I hide thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Then shall thy cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the fingers, and the spreading and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to hunger, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light raise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and steadfast thy soul in drought. Anybody ever been dry in spirit? If we will take heart to this, and I'm going to try and preach this really short, but I got to lay this out for you. If we would take heed of this, how rich we would be. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like the watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they shall make of thee, and they shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasures. Now, if you weren't here a couple Sundays ago, Brother Jason taught about, or maybe I taught about it, one of us taught about the Sabbath day. I can't remember, it was in the quarterly. We got to make, it's not supposed to be a fun day, it's supposed to be a holy day. It says, delight, if you will, from doing thy pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath day a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thy own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the inheritance of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. A premeditated fast. I promise that's the longest set of scriptures I'm going to read tonight. But we got to begin to look at the big picture. Somebody just preached about that. The big picture. So many times we just want to take pieces and bits and pieces. There's some good pieces in this verse. But you got to realize there's some things that we can very easily fall into. Hey, honey, I'm going to go fast. And then you treat her like dirt for the next 6 days. What good is that fast going to do? Now, I'm going to take just a few moments. I can't tell you the last time I heard a message preached on fasting. But I'm not preaching the entirety on this. This is just one of my points. It's something that we don't do because it inconveniences us. Now, if we would begin to set aside a time to fast from something that consumes all of our time, and begin to apply ourselves to God and the Word of God. Do you know what can happen? You will begin to make a premeditated decision that I'm going to draw closer to God. Now, I don't have all the young people that are in our encounter service, but I challenge them, those that are watching that aren't here, I challenge them to read through the New Testament, the Gospels. They're supposed to be right now probably about Mark chapter number 7 or 8. I'm not sure where they're all at. I know when I asked them a few days ago, we're supposed to do that? I said, take some time away from your device is and allow the Word of God to fill that void. Now, I'm preaching a little slow here. I promise the next 2 points are going to be really fast, but you guys got to grab a hold of this. It's so easy to say, Lord, I'm going to read your Word, but then the time that we should be reading His Word, we find something else to fill that space. Now, is it easy to read God's Word? No, the devil's going to find every reason for you not to. But let me tell you, when you begin to open up the Scriptures and you begin to fast from some things in your life, you begin to set a few things down, instead of watching a 30-minute video, give God 30 minutes of your time. I'm going to tell you, you'll fast from something else and begin to feast on the Word of God. I'm going to tell you that revival, amen, chains will have to fall, amen, deliver.
deliverance will come through for you. But you got to be willing to separate yourself from some of this world. I'm here to tell you, the world wants you to be busy about everything else. But God's calling down and saying, won't you be about my business today? We've got to draw some lines. We've got to begin to say, God, I've got to see you move. I can remember, Pastor, growing up, whenever there was a need of someone that was sick and afflicted, that was in, Sister Pepper, in a situation where it didn't look like they were going to make it through the night, through the week, the church would fall on their face. Service would not proceed as normal. And people had a desire to see God move in that situation. But anymore, because we live in a fast food generation of Jesus, you know what I need, amen. Why don't we see the healings we used to see? It's because we're not fasting from the normal. I know it's quiet, and it's okay. We've got to begin to have a premeditated decision. God, I want to see you move. And begin to talk to God. Begin to throw yourself out in front of Him and begin to allow Him to know, God, I am right here. How many's ever seen a kid not get something they wanted? Weston, come here. Can you help me for just a minute? I'll do it to you because you're a boy. You can handle it.
I want it. I want it. I want it.
He wants it. He wants it. What do you want? You want that candy bar? That bubble gum? But we don't do that to God anymore. We don't even give Him more than 10 minutes of our time. Why isn't the seat next to you filled with someone that is sick? I'm just going to preach honest to you guys. This is just clear can get. Why don't we see? You know, I can remember hearing stories of people that was on their deathbed, Brother Jason. No one could get to them. They just praying for themselves. And then all of a sudden being raised up. We don't see that because we're not fasting from things in this life. We have a 40-hour work week. And we fill that 40 hours with our work. And when we get home, we don't really take more than probably 10 hours, 20 hours a week for our family. We come to church Sunday morning. We give God 2 hours if we make it for Sunday school. And then Sunday night, most churches don't have Sunday night service. I don't have to be there. And then Thursday night, I work all day. I ain't got time. Let me tell you, there's weeks that Brother Jason and I'm not tooting our own horn, we work 60 hours a week. Sometimes we'll work 10, 12, 14-hour days. We run home, we get a fast shower, and we're at the church. Why? It's important. We premeditated in our minds that we were going to be there. If we will cut some things out, God will always meet us. We find that the children of Israel here in Isaiah, they finally got to a place where they had to recognize who God really was. They had to repent of their sins. They had to ask God for forgiveness and begin to serve Him again. We've got to here tonight. We've got to turn from our wicked ways and say, Lord, here am I. I'm going to serve you. All right, that's the hard part of the message. I promise the next two parts are a lot funner. Amen, and they'll be really quick. Number two is Psalms 100 and verse number 1. We all ought to know this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. All these, you notice that there's something going on. They're prepared for all this. Now, if I said, Titus, come up here and finish this message for me. Come on. Come up here. Why not? He's not prepared. No, Brother John, come on, come finish my message. Brother Matthew, why not? I'm not going to ask you. Brother Justin, come up here. Come on. Why not? Sister Sarah, come on, you can do it. Brother Grant, hey, come on, you can do it. Get on up. Come on, you can make it happen. Why not? We're not prepared. We find in every verse, in every portion of this verse, is a come in prepared. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Who is He? God. It is He. Amen. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. That sounds like, amen, that was premeditated to me. It's not just for one generation, but it's good for the next and the next until He comes back. We've got to begin to shake ourselves and be premeditated in our praise and worshiping and giving God glory. When we come into His house, we should come in with a song on our lips, a dance in our step, amen, and glory in our hands, and giving God our very best. 1 Samuel 3 and 9 says this. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hear. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as other times. Notice Samuel missed a couple of the calls. He thought it was the prophet or the priest. And Eli, what is it? I'm here. I'm awake. What Eli began to do, even though he had his faults, he began to cause this young man to be premeditated in his response to God. And he said, then Samuel answered and said, speak, for thy servant heareth. London. See? She looked right at me. I didn't have to tell her twice, holler at her twice. Weston, he's looking right at me. He's predetermining. He might ask me to do something else. Now, if I say, Brother Terry, wave a hand at me. No. What happens? We become, it's easy for us just to exist. God didn't call us just to exist. He created us and called us to thrive. So many times, we get down to it, but we don't have a premeditated response. Here's the altar call. Go ahead and come to the piano, Sister Pepper, as I close. When it comes down to it, we don't have a premeditated response. Usually our response is, maybe later, or no, maybe never. We've got to begin to realize God has called us, and what He wants to hear is, speak, Lord, here am I. And He wants us to activate I just talked about that in the devotion. I might make a message out of it one of these days. Don't hesitate. Activate. He wants a response out of you. What will it be? Church, stand. How many wants revival? So when church service comes around Thursday night, you have to come in with a determination. Premeditated decision, Brother Charles. I'm going to be the first that's going to praise God. I will be the first that'll be at the altar. I'll be the first. There's nothing wrong with coming and telling God, I'm going to give you my all. Because when we do that, church, He's got a premeditated decision. A gift. Eternal life that He promised all the way back in the garden. He said, I will make a way. If we want to make it, we have to predetermine that we are going to do what He says for us to do. Sister Pepper begins to play, church. I'd like for you to come around these altars. Find yourself a place to pray. Ask God, what is it that I need to remove from my life to where You can apply more into it?